Welcome back, friends. My name is Chris Langham, and I will be your guide through the book of Colossians. Colossians is all about what it means to follow Jesus. I know what you're thinking. The Gospels are about following Jesus. But now it's different for the disciples and for us. At the end of the Gospel accounts, the disciples watched as Jesus ascended to heaven. Awesome. But after 3 years of following his footsteps, what do they do now? And what about us? How do we follow Jesus today? That's what we'll learn here in Colossians. So as we walk through the text, we'll also stop to focus on the core principles and key life habits necessary to follow Jesus now. Before he left, Jesus gave the disciples the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. Remember, disciple means follower. So the first disciples were called to make more disciples, and they did. The book of Acts tells their amazing stories as they reached their world with the gospel. Now, I wish I could say that everything has been great since then, but it hasn't. The Christian church has done tremendous good in the world, but we've also done some real harm, and it started way back then. Corruption, greed, hypocrisy, they got in early. But there was also good, compassion, hope, and grace. So if we're going to do this, let's get it right. Let's live it. That's what Colossians is all about, living it. But wait, you just said Colossians is about following Jesus. Exactly. That's how you live it. See, I could say to live it, you should stop doing bad things and start doing good. But that's working from the outside in, and it's a recipe for hypocrisy. Jesus changes us from the inside out. How does that work? Let's go to the Bible to find out. After the book of Acts, the Bible has a series of personal letters written by Jesus' apostles with instructions on what it means to be a Christian. That's what this part of the Bible is all about. The apostles wrote these letters to the church back then to give them instructions on how to follow Jesus when Jesus isn't walking around in front of you. It teaches you how to get it right. So here's what happened. Jesus sent out the apostles, and they reached others and made disciples. In every town where they made disciples, they started a church. Each church started well, but each one also had its problems. When the apostles moved on to new towns, they would often write letters back to the churches to encourage them, and many times to correct them. False teachers got into the church early, so some of the letters were written to help believers know the truth from lies and walk in truth. Today we begin the letter to the Colossians. It was written by the Apostle Paul to the Christians in the city of Colossae. They were brand new believers, so it's perfect for us. The letter begins with a friendly greeting from Paul in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae. So this is really just the to and from at the top of the letter. From Paul to the Colossians. Hence the weird name of the book. But it's not a book. It's a letter. And it's not a weird name. It's a personal name. And that's how we should read it. Personally. Don't read the Bible like it's an encyclopedia. Almost the entire New Testament is personal letters. And you'll get a lot more out of it if you read it like it's personally to you. So that's how I'll read this letter. And this letter, like almost every Bible letter, begins with grace. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. The word grace was a common greeting, but it's also a foundational truth. Grace is a gift. We don't earn it, don't deserve it. God just loves us because he loves us, grace. And living out our faith begins with understanding grace. Then in verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. So Paul starts out by giving thanks, not thanks to the church, but thanks to God for the church. I like that. I really believe that the highest compliment is simply, I thank God for you. And Paul thanks God for the faith and the love that he's heard about in the church. Paul had never been to Colossae, but he heard about it from his friend Epaphras, the man who started the church. And what he heard was beautiful. A thriving and healthy church full of a faith and love that were driven by eternal hope and centered on Jesus. And in verse 6, Paul says that it all started the day they heard the gospel and truly understood God's grace. That is key number one to following Jesus. Understand grace. Understand that God saved us because he loves us. Not because we earned it, we can't earn it. Not because we deserve it, we don't. Jesus paid the full price, and we can't add to it. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he puts it this way, "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There is incredible peace and real freedom in this simple truth. We are saved by grace. Not by works means that we don't earn salvation. Trying to earn salvation leads to boasting, arrogance, and judgmentalism, just like the hypocrites. Understanding grace brings humility. We still do good works, but we do them with the same grace that God gave us. Back in verse 6, Paul calls it bearing fruit, the natural outgrowth of the change within. Speaking of within, what exactly is happening inside? How does that change happen, and where does the understanding come from? In verse 8, Paul says that this new love happening among the believers is love in the Spirit. And then in verse 9, he prays that God would fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. And that is key number 2, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God, the third part of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Spirit works within us, gives us love and compassion, helps us with conviction and strength to resist evil, and guides us with knowledge and wisdom for life. The Spirit is how we live it. And the result, in verse 10, is a life worthy of the Lord, a life that bears fruit and does good works, not earning his love, but simply living worthy of the amazing love he already showed us. Grace takes the focus off of our work and puts it on his worthiness. And back in verse 10, on growing in the knowledge of God. After all, that's what following Jesus is about, knowing him. Remember, love God and love others. So that brings us to our third essential to following Jesus. First, understand grace. Second, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And third, get to know Jesus. Draw close to the Son of God. And that is exactly what we're going to do here in Colossians. Get to know Jesus. Wait, I thought Colossians was about following Jesus. Wait again, I thought Colossians was about living it, getting it right. Exactly. All three go together. As you follow Jesus, you get to know Jesus. That's what journeys are for, getting to know each other. And as you get to know him, you learn how to get it right. It's all part of the journey. That's all for today. Go ahead and start in on reading Colossians. If you have time, read all four chapters. And I'll meet you back here as we dive into chapter 1.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.